Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Here comes my awkward one. 3, 2, 1.
Read all about it. Read all about it. Sunday paper is coming to you from the great state of Florida.
Here I am.
Florida cloudiness. Yes.
Oh, there's nothing worse. Here's the thing. Florida, here's what Florida has to offer you. Good weather. And when it's gray, you literally stand there going, what the fuck am I doing here?
I do have to say, like, I get that little visceral and very physical reaction when I got off the plane, when that there's no other way to describe it. I mean, other than humidity, but when that tropical feel hits you,
I love it.
When you come out of like baggage claim or whatever, yeah. Like it's, you're like, whoa, you're in a pretty different country here, you know?
Now, I shit on Florida, but the truth is my mom's there. I love it. I love that tropical thing. I love the way the weather kind of rolls in, shits on you, and then just rolls out. And then you got nice skies. I like the ocean, green water. It's warm.
Yeah, sure. You got your So I got dumped on yesterday on the golf course. We had to quit after 9 holes. It was torrential, and it was not in the forecast. Everyone was surprised, but I went out. I was supposed to go with my dad. I went out with his friend of his, Jason, who I don't think you met. Great guy. Anyway, I came down here to spend some time with my dad. 3 nights. Stepbrother Jeff came down, who's a legend, giant fisherman. And all of a sudden, my dad's heart rate was like going kind of crazy. And then the place called him because they have a monitor that they can watch him remotely. They're like, you got to get in here. Anyway, I want to just tell this one quick funny story. So the procedure that they then scheduled and I took them to, and I'm a little too familiar. I'm like nodding at people at this hospital now, like we recognize each other. So the procedure, and there's obviously a technical name for it, but they shock you. They shock your whole body.
Like No.
You lay on a metal, like, tray, like in the gurney or whatever you call it, in the bed.
Just show them how much your stocks dropped in the last few days?
No, I know. I should have done it. Yeah, or tell them that I'm still trying to make it as a TV a comedy writer at this age. That should have done it. So you lay on a metal plate or whatever. They put you under and they shock you, right? So on the way there, he goes, no, you know, I've had this done before and it works. And by the way, it worked. Immediately his irregularity, and it wasn't AFib. He goes, last time I went, he goes, it's, you know, a little, the first time I did it, he's done it more than once. The first time I did it, he goes, you get in and it's a really cold and it's a plate, and you know what's going on. They're going to shock you. So they put you under so you don't feel anything. You don't know anything. And when you wake up, the nurse is there and they're cool as cucumbers. They're cool as cucumbers. And they tell you how well it went. And then the doctor looks you right in the eyes and goes, immediately jump back to normal and you're stable. It worked. It was a success. But my dad always, of course, because of his immigrant background and his parents, and he grew up poor, he always bonds with basically the help, right? So there was one guy, and I don't even know what his role was, but he was very low and like no one was, and my dad talked to him though. So my dad like befriended him before he went into the, you know, whatever, the guy wheeled him into the room. So anyway, the nurse says that, the doctor says that, cool as cucumbers. And the guy comes over to get my dad back in the chair and wheel him out. And he's like, hey, my man, what's going on? And the guy goes, man, you almost hit the ceiling.
Holy shit, really?
Yes.
God damn.
So like The guy couldn't have possibly known that my dad is going to do this like two or three more times. And now he knows what happens when he closes his eyes.
Damn, nurse, the nurse ratchet. Jesus. Did they put a thing in your mouth to bite down on?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I didn't ask him. I wonder.
Huh.
They have to stabilize. I can't believe these old guys don't pull muscles when that
I
happens.
know. Wow, that's
I
amazing.
know.
Well, because your dad's got that concierge service. My mom doesn't have that. So if that should happen to her, they'd be like, okay, call us on Monday and we'll schedule something for 3 weeks from now.
No,
It's all
when
about
we
the
went in,
concierges down there.
well, he resents the hell out of it. He's also very frugal that way. But when we went in, now he's like, we had to pause twice getting up to the doctor's office. And like, he's almost passing out. We get him in there, and the guy goes, Mr. Gibbons. And we're in the waiting room. And he's like, yes. He's like, this way. And then I have to help him up. We cross, we go in, we sit down. And it's just this guy who goes, you know, I noticed your concierge, you know, expired, and just the renewal forms. It was all the upsell, and my
No.
dad's like, "Wait, do I stay here and now see a nurse or all that?" He's like, "No. I'll put you back in the waiting room. This was just for that."
No shit.
And
That's gross.
my dad was exactly what he called it, and he was really resentful. It's all about that, but I'll tell you. It's worth it. And I have to remind him, I'm like, will you? It's, I don't know if it's a few hundred dollars, whatever.
No. It's like, five
Oh,
to
no,
ten
no.
thousand.
I think his might have been 2,500. Yeah, now that you're saying that.
Yeah.
And then, but they've upped it to 35. They're all upping it because people are paying.
Yep.
But
Unbelievable.
he did cut the line though.
Hey, let's change the subject. Happy birthday.
Look at that.
Happy birthday to.
We don't have to do that. I hope to
No.
be that old and have that many troubles.
I've never met anybody who's less concerned with his own birthday. I should say other people's birthdays too, but your own birthday, you're very unconcerned with.
Yeah, I'm not really into, well, growing up. Also, my dad, this is the situation. It sounds like it's sad, but it's not. Yesterday, he's going through his little, he has a manual old school calendar, right? Like a little notebook. And he looked through and he's with Jeff and we're all sitting there last night after dinner and he's like, hey, it's Mike's birthday tomorrow. Like he to Jeff. And I'm like, yep, it is.
Oh my God.
People wonder how I got this way.
Yeah. Even holidays. You're not even into holidays.
No, I'm very into Christmas.
Okay.
I milked that one.
Well, because it's you're really into Jesus Christ.
Yeah, well, you saved me. What else are we talking about? Later, we're going to talk about the Denny McCarthy. I
Yep.
guess I'll save my little dumb airplane joke for later. But March Madness, just to wrap it up, the under-over bet, there were 38 unders, 25 overs. That's a 13-game differential. Rabi owes me. Well, hopefully his wife doesn't listen to the podcast. I don't think anyone does, but 1300 bucks.
1300, and you hedged your bet once you hit the sweet 16. You said to me, I don't want him to swing back now and take my money, so I'm going to start betting overs with you. So I took the unders on the final 17 games,
It was
and
even for a while, and then the last five were unders.
so I walked away with 250 bucks from you, which you did pay me, right?
I paid you immediately. It was a
Okay.
$50 hedge. So each one of those that I paid you, really, Ruby paid you. He paid me 50 and he paid you 50.
Yeah. All right. I like it. When you sneeze, people always say, God bless you. But when you fart, people never say, Satan condemns you. All right,
Solid one.
let's get to the logo. It's from Ryan Wise. It's a take
Oh
it
man.
ish. It's a nice one. I like the art, very 70s graffiti looking thing. Like that.
Hold on.
What is he doing? Is he
It
farting?
stopped recording.
Uh-oh. That's no good. Is it plugged in?
It's recording now. Yeah, and the red light was on. Anyway, mark the time.
All right, at 10 minutes and 15 seconds in.
They might have to use, they're definitely going to, I don't know how, I don't know if it got any of it, but we're good to go now.
Oh, okay. Well, a lot of technical snafus in the last few weeks, but you
know
what?
That's what you get here. Everybody knows that. That's what you
get
here.
You know what? You don't have to listen to fucking advertising. That's the key to our show.
Yeah.
The song, great song from Ray Maslanka. Maslanka.
Thank you, Ray.
Ray's given us a few really fucking high-end good songs. We appreciate it. Some corrections. A high-end correction from... Ryan in Chicago. He said the famous painting with the people sitting
yes.
in a diner is Edward Hopper's Nighthawks, as you can see it at the Art Institute in Chicago, my favorite art museum in the country. It is not called, as Mike referred to it, the Falcon.
I don't know if I said no. You know what I said? The Thunderbird.
Oh, that's a
and I don't know why I had that in my mind. I don't know why I had that in my mind, but he's right.
That's a wino drink. Greg repeatedly brought up BlackRock profiting from war. BlackRock is an asset management firm. Blackwater is a private military contractor. To top it off, Greg doesn't have access to the New York Times because he hasn't figured out how to sign into his wife's account on his computer. You guys aren't even that old, but you're making a strong case for Gen X being the new boomers.
Oh, we're there.
Disgustedly yours, an elder millennial, Ryan in Chicago. Toby said, Greg said multiple times that Adolescence was a three-episode show. We got a lot of this email. Even Mike said the third episode about the therapist was really powerful and he didn't like the last episode. And Greg corrected Mike and said that the third episode was the last episode. Okay, we get it. Get it. Ryan said, as a former local of Spokane.
By the way, I did like the last, for the record, we're going to talk about it later. I did very much like the last episode, but when I was seeing it, I was like, oh, wow, like, you're going to end it on this. I wonder if that's a big enough story because a lot of the action had already happened and it was more emotional. You know what I mean?
But are we going to get into it now or are we going to do it during entertainment?
No, I'm just okay. I'm just addressing a correction. That's all right. We're done.
As a former local of Spokane, when people say, also mispronounced, the Jesuit University with a good basketball team is pronounced Gonzaga, second syllable.
Are you doing this on purpose? Gonzaga.
Gonzaga. Okay. Well, apparently they'll never
be.
They'll never be in the Sweet 16 again because of all this trading that happens with colleges now.
Oh, I know.
There's going to just be super teams. Speaking of super teams, I'm coming to Huntington at the Mamba on May 4th. And then Escondido at Grand Comedy, May 9th and 10th. Cincinnati, or actually technically Dayton, Kentucky, at Commonwealth, May 16th, 17th. Also coming to Tampa. Why do I have Escondido down twice? Oh, yeah, no, I don't. Torrance, Austin, Point Pleasant, La Jolla. I think I'm also coming to, what's that beach town south of Tampa?
Clearwater?
No, further south.
Well, not St. Pete.
No, further south.
Sarasota. Good Lord.
Captain Hooks in, whatever, look it up. Captain Hooks. Okay. I'll be there. let's get some crinkling. You got any crinklage?
I don't. You're going to have to handle the crinklage.
Let's see.
Today.
Hold on. Let me find something to crinkle.
I'm looking up this city. I'm fascinated. Tampa. It's not Braden. Fort Myers. You ready? Bradenton. Sarasota. Venice. Punta Gorda, Fort Myers, Naples, Everglades City.
Naples, that's it. Naples.
Dude,
here's where we're going to crinkle a little page out of a book called
Turtle
the
Island,
Sunday
Marco
Papers
Island.
Notebook, which you can purchase at fitzdog.com. We have hats. We have Sunday Papers hats. Fifth anniversary. See that? Fifth anniversary right on the front. Impress your friends. We got mugs. This stuff is selling. Did you see the report?
I saw the report, man. It's flying out the door. I got to get a hat,
out the
dude.
Door. People are supporting the show because they know we have no advertising, so we sell merch. Let's get to the front page.
Let's do it. I saw this headline today in an international paper and also in something well-respected. I forget. Fund managers quietly fear Trump doesn't have a tariff plan and that he might be insane.
Insane in the membrane.
In the last few days, we have had many conversations with macro fund managers, said the head of research at the financial analysis firm FS Insights. And their concern is that the White House is not acting rationally, but rather on ideology. And some even fear that this may not even be ideology. A few have quietly wondered if the president might be insane. And I'm thinking maybe that's Trump's plan. I forget where it is, but it's like the guy who holds the gun to his own head and tells everyone, like, just do what I say and he won't get hurt.
Blazing like, Saddles, the sheriff.
Right. That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Perfect. Perfect.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I think that's what it is. It's like, well, here's what it is. First of all, there was a thing in the Oval Office where he was standing there with some billionaire friends and he started congratulating them. And he started saying, this guy made $1 billion yesterday. Oh, and how about you? You made $730 million. Did you see that?
No. So it tanked and terrified the world the day before. Then it goes up because it seems like he caves, right? Based on the bond market. And yeah. So, but right before he said, you made $900 million today. Not a bad day. I mean, to say that out loud,
yeah.
To think that, also to have that guy there, but also before that, he said, he's like, they're like, Mr. President, people are seeing your wisdom. It went up. He's like, yeah, yeah. He's like up 13 or whatever it was, up 1400. That has to be some kind of record. It's like, no. You're handing me a Band-Aid, but you're the one who punched me in the nose.
Yeah.
Like, you're not... I'm not giving you credit for handing me a Band-Aid.
Well, the catch-22 is that he's coming out and he's saying the tariffs are so that we can create an environment to make new production jobs, manufacturing jobs in this country. That's why the tariffs are there. And then he puts them out, and then all of a sudden it's obvious he's using it as a negotiation ploy. So what's the message? Which is it? Are we all part of some aggressive bluff? Like he used to do when he was a builder, and if it failed, six times he went bankrupt, six times our government, our dollars bailed him out. So now there's nobody to bail him out. He's using the same tactics like he's working with the net. What is Russia going to bail him out? Because that's the only one he didn't put tariffs on.
Also, there would have been so many more bankruptcies, but a lot of the times what he would do is he just wouldn't pay people.
Yeah.
And it's when all of a sudden that became impossible that he declared bankruptcy. But, you know, like the architect who built his giant golf course out in the Hamptons, like he just doesn't pay people. And then he tells his lawyers, just keep that lawsuit going forever, for as long as you can.
By the way, you know, there's a new thing now where, you know, the IRS has been stripped down and rich people, billionaires, are simply not paying their taxes because they're crunching the numbers and it costs them way less to pay penalties than it does to keep their money out of the market and pay it now. So there are billions and tens of billions of dollars not being paid in taxes because, you know, just fuck it. Just fuck
Remember Telepictures, which ran the Ellen DeGeneres show? They just used music. Remember all of Ellen's dancing?
Yeah, right.
All of that, right? In year seven, they got busted badly, and it was written about. So I'm not talking out of turn here. And they then had to pay penalties, triple damages maybe, to the artist on all the music they'd used. But it only went back 4 years. So the first 3 years was free. And the guy at Telepictures, some source in Telepictures, a lawyer with this, was like, well, what kind of practice is that? So are you saying you made this was a wise, prudent decision because you paid less than if you had done it legally. He literally goes, that's how we roll.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude,
and then
have a lawyer next to you before you
answer questions. And then you're working at McDonald's. You're working 40 hours a week at McDonald's, and they are whacking your fucking 26% right. You never even see it. You don't argue it. You don't hide it. You just pay it. And then you take the fucking bus home.
It got dark.
All right.
All right, I love this story.
All right, this is good.
Zoo introduces glasses to avoid direct eye contact with gorillas. Now, I have the pictures of the glasses. So you put them on. They look like, you know, the cardboard 3D glasses. And the glasses have eyeballs printed on them, which are looking to the right or left. So you can look right at the gorilla, but the gorilla doesn't see you making eye contact. But you know how smart gorillas are. They must be like, what the fuck is going on? And eventually they must be like, why are you even coming to a zoo if you're not going to look at me? The glasses were introduced following an attack on a woman by an escaped gorilla, and the specs are sponsored by a local health insurance company. But I think when I saw these, Greg, I think you need to get these on all of your glasses because of your maniacal eye contact. I think people would sweat it a little less when you're talking to them. And I think I should get glasses with eyes that make eye contact so I can do my thing and not even look at you.
Yes, you need your reverse spectrum glasses that make you look like you give a shit.
I think especially when we're doing the podcast, so I don't see
your eyes going straight down to your phone during the podcast. And I actually, on some level, believe you're paying attention. I want to get a pair that makes it look like I'm looking at a woman's tits instead of her feet.
So no matter what, eyes are still down there?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Or what about like a pair that makes you look Asian, that has like, you know, kind of squinty eyes?
Can they sell these for binoculars when I look down at the beach from my dad's window here at all the women on the beach? Can
what,
somehow
the
binoculars make...
78-year-old women with implants?
Oh, no. This is the public beach.
Oh.
No, yes. There's talent.
Wow. All right. That sounds creepy.
So I need... Oh, there's also a telescope by the window. I don't question him on it. I don't think he's looking at the moon.
Well, the telescope's better because then your hands are free.
That is true. Police. Now I just need something that makes it look like I'm looking up at like ships way out on the horizon. Yeah.
Police released photos on Thursday of a woman who allegedly stole property from an unresponsive man on a lower Manhattan subway train. Now, that's not... Why is that such a big story in the news? Oh, wait, there's more. Shortly before, a second suspect performed sex acts on the victim's corpse after he died.
No.
It's unclear if the man was dead when the woman removed unknown property from him aboard a downtown R train. According to the police, he was unconscious and unresponsive when she came up around 10:45 p.m. and stole his property. The female suspect is wanted for grand larceny. Sources said it appears the same victim who was violated less than 2 hours later when a man performed multiple sex acts on him after he died aboard the train. There are images of the male suspect.
What is it, yellow hoodie day?
They both have on yellow hoodies. And he's got on a Dodgers cap. That's not good for L.A. There was no immediate indication the two suspects knew each other or the victim. What if they knew him? They're like, oh, look, it's Bill. Investigators believe he was a homeless man and might have died from natural causes on the train. Oh, so that smelled good. Anyone who witnessed the act is asked to call Crime Stoppers at 1-800-577-TIPS.
Yeah. Well, anyone who witnessed the act is also advised to see a psychiatrist immediately and also wipe the vomit off your chin.
Yeah, and maybe get involved next time.
I bet she's going to be caught. I mean, you can see her clear as day. And I'm surprised they can't. I bet they already know, but they can't because of the violation of privacy. I bet her face scan has already coughed up who she is. But
yeah,
I'm wondering, she's going to want to prove, I wonder if there's a difference between stealing from a corpse or if he was alive.
Oh, that should go under our ethical questions.
Isn't it like found property if it's on a corpse?
Well,
there's probably a law that says if it's on his person, it's his.
Well, is it considered rape if you have sex with somebody who's already dead? I mean, I know it's necrophilia, but is it also rape?
I think when you're dead, it's implied consent.
Well, that's what. Safe. What if it's more than implied consent? What if they got to the Whitehall station, and then the guy stood up and they high-fived and they went to the manhole for a drink? Maybe this whole thing was just like a kinky charade.
He takes a drug that makes him seem dead for about an hour.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
He also
what,
had
what do you
to
think
move.
They stole? Do you think he stole his hat? Look at the Dodgers hat. Look at him on the right.
Yep.
He has a fedora on.
Right. Oh, yeah. Who would put a homeless guy's hat on? Jesus.
Especially after someone just came in it.
I know, multiple acts. You really don't want your imagination to start figuring that one out.
No, you're right. Wait, what? Good Lord, this is disgusting. What train was it?
I don't know, but it went down to Whitehall Station. I think it was the R train. Yeah, the R train
for Whitehall
Street. He also he had a little more room because he moved the guy over to the disabled seat. Prince Harry, you know,
let
Prince
him off.
Harry,
let him get off. Good.
He met with war victims on Thursday in an unannounced visit to Ukraine as part of his ongoing work with wounded veterans.
Seems like it was announced.
He visited the Superhuman Center, an orthopedic clinic that treats rehabilitated military personnel. They provide prosthetics, reconstructive surgery, and psychological help free of charge. So the Duke of Sussex, who served 10 years in the British Army, has made helping injured soldiers one of his most prominent causes. And he traveled to Ukraine after spending 2 days in a London court where he is appealing the British government's decision to strip him of his government-funded protection after he quit working as a member of the royal family. What a job to quit. Hey, that's it. Enough of this. I'm tired of being chauffeured around and fed the best food in England in front of like the hottest chicks in England. The prince is no stranger to war, having served 2 tours in Afghanistan, where he flew missions as an Apache helicopter pilot. Yeah, he was a war hero in Afghanistan, where he once drank his tea cold after an IUD wiped out half the soldiers who did his tea service every day.
Listen, he is a veteran. He's no stranger to war and high conflict. He's married to Meghan Markle.
There it is. That's the joke we're looking for.
Come on. The new queen of America.
You get PTSD just from looking at that icy stare when you didn't fucking buy the bouncy house for the kids that day for the birthday party.
The people's princess. Icy stare. All you have to do is call her Markle. You have to dead name her. She'll freak out.
Yeah. Hey, maybe he can help out the war victims in Northern Ireland that his ancestors starved to death. Maybe bring over some protein shakes. Give us back our cows.
By the way, you know, it was an unannounced visit because he was afraid of for his security. Soon as he finished, he announced the shit out of this.
Yeah. Right. Right.
Right. Speaking of flying... is this story the...
You have
a plane.
The FAA will investigate. By the way, we are conspicuous in its absence is the helicopter plummeting to the ground with 6 family members in it. I mean, we will take on molesting a corpse, but the one with the 6 rich people in a helicopter, we fell in that was...
But there were kids, man.
I know.
It fell in the water, right? It did, I think.
Maybe.
It was very. Have you not seen the footage?
I saw. Went straight down. Woo.
Well, no, but the propeller was flying separately, and came down 50 yards away.
Huh.
The helicopter had no propeller on it. It was like a cab, and just plummeted out of the sky.
So you think you'd think they'd have more than one screw holding the propeller to the helicopter.
Well, I know. The owner came on immediately, goes, this is so tragic. He's like, I'm a father and a grandfather. Like, immediately the sympathy card. Like, I don't even know how that's sympathy, but he just played the emotional card. And but people are like, yeah, whatever, buddy. Let's see your maintenance log.
Yep.
Because no one has ever seen this. I'm not saying it hasn't happened. No one has ever seen this where the propeller flies off the helicopter in midair.
Yeah. Bill Burr flies helicopters. I think he might even own one.
Yeah, didn't he say he bought a two-seater, which rules out his family?
Yeah. I want to go see him in New York doing the Glengarry Glen Ross.
My dad saw it.
What'd he think?
He loved it.
Well, Bill's getting amazing reviews. And I was on the phone with him a couple weeks ago, and I was like, I'm psyched about you. I said, yeah, I'm thinking about coming in for it. He's like, oh, yeah, you want a free ticket? I go, I didn't ask for a free ticket. He goes, I'll get you a free ticket. I'm like, well, they're $900 each, so yeah, maybe.
What's amazing is it's
$900.
My dad got him from his buddy, Niederlander, who I heard him talk to on the phone today, who's 92, who ran the Yankees for a little while when George was suspended.
Really?
Anyway.
All right. So anyway, this FAA will investigate after two American Airlines regional jets bumped wings at Washington's Ronald Reagan National Airport. Flight 5490 was headed to Charleston, South Carolina. Flight 4522 was headed to JFK with seven members of Congress on board. Also on board were former Israeli hostages Keith and Aviva Siegel. And this was the FAA. Blue Streak 5490, did we hit the aircraft next to us? The pilot flying asked the tower and the air traffic control audio captured by the website. Maybe the pilot of the South Carolina plane was Jewish and he was high-fiving the plane with the Israelis in it.
The tower's like, 5940, what do you think? We all saw it from here.
Meanwhile, like, the Israeli hostages are like, oh, we're free now. We can just relax. What the fuck?
You know where two American Airlines planes do not touch each other? Dallas. Because they're about 6 miles apart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm going to bring this up every podcast.
There is a new segment on Sunday Papers. It's called, what do we call this? The Ethical Question.
I think you just said it.
And the New York Times is called The Ethicist.
Call it The Ethical Question.
The Ethical Question.
I like that.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a couple today.
Sorry about my voice.
You're down in Florida. You're at your dad's house.
Yes.
You need a little space. You go for a walk on the beach. You come across something that's glittering in the sunlight. You walk over.
It's a woman.
It's a kilo of cocaine sealed
done
in a plastic bag.
Yeah.
Do you call the, I don't know who you call, the police, and turn it in? Or do you grab it, take a little for yourself, and we have a couple friends that still do cocaine for some reason. Give them some and sell the rest for millions? Or do you turn it in? What do?
I think I sit down, I finish my screenplay, which I also start, and then I clean every garage on the walk home, and then I see what's left when I get home about a week or two later. And then I call you, and I say, what was that question again?
And then you call Hannah, and you go, I think we can work it out.
Yeah.
I apologize.
Yeah, everything's good. I make amends with everybody.
It really is like, it's like Ritalin mixed with fun.
Right. You know, here's the crazy thing. I know what the it's normally the ethical questions are a little more a toss up. This obviously is not. Everyone knows the right thing to do. But did you make this up?
Yeah.
Oh, no wonder. It's a horrible one.
Why? Every time I'm in Florida, I think about this possibility.
With that said, if I'm being honest, I think I would take it home and then think about it.
Of course. Yes. You're not going to make the decision on the beach. You grab a beach towel, you wrap it up, and you carry it home like a baby.
Greg, that's you and me. Almost everyone else would say, you don't touch it, and you call the lifeguard and authorities, or whatever authority you want to call.
Why? They're just going to burn it. It's a bag of fun. It's a bag of possibilities. No.
I'll tell you the other thing what I think about when I got home is how fast can Amazon get me a scale to my house? No. the first thing I think about is, well, you know, I could be killing a whole community if I don't immediately stop this from going forward.
Oh, stop it.
You don't know what it's cut with. By the way, it might not be cut with anything. Who knows?
No, that's the point. This shit is pure. This is like, you know, in the baggie still.
All right, so I tested and we know it's pure. So, yeah, well, what are you going to become a drug dealer? I mean, this is exactly what gets you. You see the beginning of Breaking Bad. You get in over your head real fast.
No, but you must know. I think I know two guys, Joey Diaz being one of them, who I could call and say, can you move this for me? And they would be able to do it.
Well, think about how little of a cut you'd want.
I would take 30%.
30? I think I would take $5,000 just to get it out of my house.
Yeah, there you go. $5,000.
And then they make $250,000.
Yeah. And then you go to jail. Second question. This is a classic. I'm just going to put it out there. We're going to call this classic ethical question.
All right.
You go back in time. You find Hitler's baby. Do you kill that baby?
Yeah. I mean, Norm MacDonald has a funny bit on that. And we had a very, very, and I think I told you this, we had a very funny joke in the Golden Globes. Yeah, I did mention it, but you know, what's his name? We just won for the Holocaust, Brody.
Adrian Brody?
Yeah, who won for The Brutalist, being a Holocaust survivor. And he won for The Pianist as a Holocaust guy. And it's like, you're the only one who would go back in time and kiss Hitler, baby Hitler, for making your career possible.
That was a Norm joke?
No, that was on the Golden Globes Nikki Glaser. So
Nikki Glaser.
I would say that you're killing an innocent baby.
So you wouldn't do it.
Do I stay back in time or I'm only there one day?
Yeah, one shot.
What I would do is, because if I stayed, I might have been more encouraging of his art in art school.
Right.
Just lie right to his face like, oh my God, you're still lives.
Get a Jewish private equity.
You're great at life. You're great at life. You're great at still life. They're still alive.
Yeah. You get a Jewish private equity fund to just keep buying his artwork so he thinks he's successful.
Also, I mean, then I'm like, Spielberg doesn't win his first Oscar for Schindler's List.
Yeah.
You're changing a lot. You know what I mean?
The Greatest Generation wouldn't be the Greatest Generation. They'd just be a bunch of fat guys that stayed home in the 50s or the 40s.
There'd be no Israel. What?
All right. I'm very excited to tell you about a new sponsor to the show. Do you want to support American farms these days? How about Mood? Mood is it's the only online cannabis company that I would endorse. They're revolutionizing how we deal with life's challenges. Sleepless nights, you got some stress-filled days. Mood.com has created an entire line of functional gummies that target specific health concerns with 100% federally legal THC blends. They deliver them right to your door, unmarked bag right away. You can get 20% off your first order at mood.com with promo code FITZ, F-I-T-Z. Do it. It's a new sponsor. I'm very excited about them. I've tried the gummies. I'm here to tell you, there are different strains that do different things. The Sleepy Time gummy, not, I'm telling you, 15 minutes, I was done. I was out. Woke up in the morning, no hangover, didn't feel groggy, had energy. They've got the Epic Euphoria gummies that are perfect for when you want to go and have a little fun. When maybe you need to re-hit the, you want to hit the reset button on life a little bit. You want to turn it around. What makes these gummies different is they've paired THC and other cannabinoids with herbs and adaptogens. You're just not going to find gummies like this in a dispensary anywhere like these. They have gummies for literally everything: immune support, menopause relief, PMS symptoms, mental clarity. How about some sexual arousal? Hey now. And each one is crafted using federally legal cannabis grown on small, family-owned American farms. No pesticides, no BS, and they can ship to most states in the U.S. Best of all, not only does Mood stand behind everything with an industry-leading 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with code FITS. So head to Mood.com, browse their amazing selection of functional gummies, and find the perfect gummy for whatever you're dealing with. And remember, use promo code FITS so we get the count. At the checkout, save 20% off your first order.
What would we do without Israel?
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Let's get to entertainment.
Do it.
Now, we warned you guys there would be a spoiler this week because we need to talk about adolescence. If you did not see it and you don't want a spoiler, I would fast forward about 5 minutes right now.
Jeez, that's a long time.
And we're going to get into
longer than the show.
Well, look, the show is, I mean, it's a shame that they shot it in one shot, because even though I feel like that creates a tension that's very unique and very intense that works, it's also distracting because you're constantly thinking, where is the camera positioned right now? Or how did they do that? Or just being impressed by it.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, the act, there are four people that should be nominated for Emmys for this. And I think that the father should absolutely win.
The father?
The son also should absolutely win.
The lead story is the son. The lead story is the son, man. That kid, he's won it already. He's won it. Are you kidding me?
I know. And what is he, about 14, 15?
I don't know, but he was very, God, this is going to cheapen it so much. But remember when you would see movies where Ed Norton truly was playing a different character, like he became a different, completely different human being
right
in the same film? This kid did that in that interview in episode 3.
Yep.
It was like, what? All of a sudden, he was a menacing, older soul threat versus a little kid who wanted his mayonnaise sandwich.
And the way the therapist got rattled by him just made it that much more intense. You know, it was like Silence of the Lambs, where Jodie Foster, you could see the fear in her, you know, and her trying to keep her shit together and maintain some kind of an authority as the therapist while being scared shitless.
And as written, which is what you just described, that necessitates him showing monsterish qualities that would terrify someone who's seen it all.
And this kid, and these are 15, 20-minute scenes without a break. Well, first of all, we're talking about theater. You know, people do that in theater all the time. So it's not that insane. That's for, oh, my God, how do they remember all those lines? Well, you're a fucking professional. That's what you do.
Yeah, but if I was at Broadway and I saw an Interrogation Room and an unbelievable roller coaster of ups and downs and tonal changes with these two people, and then By the way, it was 50 minutes, 5-0, because she leaves the room like they kind of have a little bit of a timeout. But if it was the play, you would have seen him staying there. You would have seen her go into another room.
Right.
Then she comes right back and continues it. In other words, as this was filmed, that kid didn't get a break.
No.
And so even on Broadway, I'd be like, that's impressive.
But I got to tell you something. This, it deals with family loyalty in the face of everything that would make you lose faith in somebody. And at the end of it, that hit me so fucking hard, because the beautiful moment of it was that the parents were at the end of their ropes. You didn't know if they could go any further. The van had been vandalized. The kids were taunting them. The, you know, the kid's going to plead guilty now. They're done. All the strength that they've mustered over these 16 months, they can't do it anymore. And then the daughter comes in her prettiest dress and basically says, we can do this. And you see them just fill up again. Like, we can, as a family, we can do this. And I collapsed crying. I was like, that's the most, because she had been just a bitchy little teenage girl the entire time. Nobody saw that coming. And that to me was about what family's really about, you know?
Oh, and she didn't really even bring up, like, she had to be asked about how rough it is at school. And she's like, of course.
Yeah.
Like, she's picked on at school. She's the sister.
She's a minor character that ends up being the hero in the end. And then when the father says, we should have done better. There's not a parent in America when their kid is stumbling that doesn't blame themselves. Like, I can't think of a more primal feeling that I have sometimes when I think about my kids than, oh, you know, I was away too much, or my ADHD kept me from being as connected as I would have liked to be. All that stuff, you just blame, you beat yourself up. And when you see the father go through that, you just, oh man, I was crying so hard. Ready for this?
No.
I was alone in the house. Aaron had gone to New York. JoJo was out.
No.
I was alone, and the lights were out, and I watched the final two episodes back to back. I was crying so hard, it sounded like I was laughing. This was like
oh, that should be like a haunted house on Halloween.
I know.
Scariest house. That would have been the scariest house I've ever walked into. You know, one thing that got me is I remember Olivia when she was really young. I was like, oh my God, we're on the car ride home, and she was a very good soccer player. And I'm like, oh, that was so great when you scored that goal. She's like, yeah, but you didn't see it. I'm like, I did. What do you mean? She's like, no, you were looking at your phone. And it was one of those where she scored and I hear the commotion and I look up and I see her like running away from the goal. I'm like, yeah, but she was right. And you forget how much that means to a kid. Not only that you cut to the game, but like you're watching, and then especially watching such a high point. And I'm only saying this because that was a big part in this series, which was because, you know, the kid brought it up, and it came up a couple of times. And the key moment that the first time I talked to the screen, back to the screen, I said, no, 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 do not do that, was in the interrogation room when the dad saw the footage, and he physically looked away, and it was exact parallel. It was written on purpose. He was so embarrassed, he couldn't face him. He was so bad. Remember in the soccer games, the other dads would make fun and he'd look away, and the kid would look to the sidelines to look at his dad, and he goes, and I couldn't look at him.
Wow. Yeah. Right.
And that killed me.
Yeah, and I mean, think about it, just to make this worse for you with your daughter, the second she scored, she found you.
No,
that
I
was
know,
her
of course.
First
yes. That's implicit, you fuck.
I mean, you think about it, from the time she scored to the applause was about 3 seconds, and in that 3 seconds, she found you on the sideline, and you were checking your fucking stocks.
All right, stocks. All right, this is what we're doing. Now people are going to come back, and we're going to finish talking about it. So, like, anyway, I didn't think the trans person did it, but they did.
I know, and the thing is, I felt like it was such a woke message.
I know. Adolescence, how about they-them essence? Boring.
Let's go to Florida where it's never boring.
Here we go. Okay, you sent me this. Florida man turns violent after being denied a free refill of lemonade. Okay, so I'm picturing him like in a McDonald's or whatever, you know, at a where they give you the cup. Anyway, according to Clearwater Police, 45-year-old Stephen Cusumano was walking through a neighborhood around 7:30 Tuesday when he spotted a lemonade stand operated by several children and one adult victim. So that's the way the article's written. She was already a victim? In other words, is that what he saw? I think that's what he saw. He saw several children and one adult victim. Anyway, he walked over to the children and the victim, and he purchased a glass of lemonade, but became irate when he was refused a free refill. Instead of walking away, Cusumano aggressively grabbed the female victim by the wrist, adopted a fighting stance, and threatened to beat her up. After the altercation, he fled the scene on foot, but was quickly tracked down by law enforcement and found at the Girl Scout cookie stand, where he was strangling six children. No, they got him.
Well, it's because he wasn't running fast enough. If he'd had that second cup of sugar, they never would have caught Cusumano.
It's their fault.
Who's it? There's a movie with Cusumano in it, or a TV show. What name is that famous for?
I don't know.
Cusumano?
You can look it up. We're going to the next story, which is Make America Florida Again. A ripped Florida woman, not a victim, a ripped Florida woman wrestles 6-foot alligator to save her dog's life. You sent me this also. Kim Spencer said she was walking her dog near a body of water close to her house when she saw an alligator and tried to get her dog, Kona, to leave it alone. I saw the eyes. I saw it turning itself around towards us. I started pulling Kona away, saying, "Let's go." But she's a really strong dog. Also, a really stupid dog. That's my commentary. The dog apparently inched closer to the alligator, and when it did, the wild reptile attacked. According to the Florida woman, it all happened fast, and the way she reacted was instinctual. She's facing it. This is the woman talking. She's facing it. It's facing her, and it jumped out and got her, the dog. She was in up to her neck. Her whole head was inside its mouth. I stopped thinking and just dove on it, jumped on it, and straddled it. As ladylike as that is, and was trying to pry its jaws open. Its back was to me, so it made me just jump on. We just got lucky because just as quickly it ran after us, it ran back into the water, and we were out of there.
Unbelievable. Wow.
You should have let it take your dumb dog.
Yes. I mean, the dog is not worth saving. That shit's going to he's going to bite a kid in the face, or he's going to piss on your rug. I'm having flashbacks. I just love that Florida is this place where you've got meth addicts that could, you know, spear you with a fucking, you know, pole from a fishing pole, or, you know, you're constantly facing random danger. Now add wildlife, add water moccasins, add alligators in the wild. Just there's so much chaos.
It's nothing but chaos. It's crazy. And now I'm here, and you know, want to talk about chaos? Guess who just arrived?
Who?
Because it's a slow week. Trump. And my dad says he's down here every weekend.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they have to they shut down the whole south end of Palm Beach.
No, because he plays golf all day, and then he entertains billionaires. They pay $1 million a head to sit down and have dinner with him. Do you think that's going to affect any decisions he makes?
Do you know, back to story number one, that financial thing, someone asked, you know, they're all like, now, even the Wall Street Journal, Barron's, they're like, so what is the plan? Please, sir, what, like, so yesterday, it's, and then you're back, and then today, and it's like, so when, if this happens, as China says it will, what will you do? He's like, well, I'll do it at the time. They're like, what?
Yeah.
They're like, well, I'll react at the time. Like, well, what will you... How will you make that decision? And he goes, instinctively.
Yeah. There's no plan. There's no philosophy.
He literally goes, instinctively. That's the plan.
I love it. All right, let's get to sports.
Yes, buddy. I'm going to check him right now.
My cousin Danny McCarthy, a bunch of us went in on a bet for Danny. We put about $500 down, which would have won us $95,000 if he won the Masters, which is this weekend. And as I'm checking my phone,
I got it right here. You want me to tell you?
He's in 38th place on the 18th hole of the second day, which puts him
up one.
The leader's at 9 under, so he is 10 shots off the leader. No. 11 shots. No, 10 shots off the leader, which is not completely impossible, but he could possibly miss the cut. People don't know about golf. You start out with like 100 players, and then once they come to the weekend, once they come to the Saturday round, they cut about half the people. And right now, people at 1 over will make the cut. People at 2 over will not make the cut.
He's in really good company at 1 over. Spieth, Kim, Thomas, Johnson.
Couples.
Cantlay. By the way, Couples was doing really well. Couples was even earlier.
Well, it's a really hard cut. The greens are brutal. You literally put it in the middle of the green, and then it will roll off the fringe and go down a hill. It's so hard.
Plus two is it Koepka or Kupka?
Brooks Koepka.
Koepka, Rahm, Mickelson, of course, whatever. But, Mickelson's plus three, but Rahm's plus two. No, it's tough out there. I was watching my dad a little bit. You see the most beautiful chip imaginable, and then it rolls off the green.
Yep. No, it's brutal. And, you know, in the first day, he was in fifth place at one point. He was up top, but... Whatever. So good luck to Danny. Hopefully he pulls it.
Oh, dude, anything can happen even on the final day.
Yep. Anything can happen. All right, let's go down to... Is it time for this day in history?
Oh, man, I have it. Out of the gate. You ready? Hot out of the gate. The launch of the first space shuttle. On this day, NASA launched the first space shuttle, Columbia, which was designed to orbit Earth, transport people and cargo to and from orbiting spacecraft, and glide to a runway landing on its return to Earth. So this is the first space shuttle ever. It was launched on this day in what year, give or take 5 years?
1962.
So close. 1981.
What?
Yep. Come on, man. Space shuttles?
Huh. All
Speaking right. of space, Russian cosmonaut. This is like the most asked question on Trivial Pursuit. Russian cosmonaut Yuri Gagarin. Don't even send in corrections. I don't care how his last name is pronounced. Became the first human in outer space in what year on this day, give or take 5 years again?
1967.
I love it. 1961.
Oh, damn you, Russia.
Sorry about that. The patent for the first portable typewriter was issued in the United States on this date in what year, give or take 20 years?
1680.
So cool. What did I say? 20 years?
Yeah.
1892. let's get one more.
I'm going to need a bigger range. I didn't have enough coffee this morning.
the Masters tournament. Tiger Woods won the Masters, becoming the first golfer of African-American descent and the youngest player ever to place first in the event. So this means it was Tiger Woods' first win at Augusta. What year? I think you're really good at this, so I'm going to give or take 2 years.
1989. 1997. Oh, Jesus Christ.
I mean, I thought you would have been doing math, like you remembered where you were and stuff like that.
Somehow I felt like when I was a senior in college is when he blew up, but I guess not.
All right. God, you haven't won one?
No. Give me another one.
All right. American author John Steinbeck's classic, The Grapes of Wrath, was published on this day in what year? And I'm going to give you some hints, even though you're very well read and you know this. This book was set during the Great Depression. It traces the migration. So don't give me any 1800s.
Right.
It traces the migration of an Oklahoma Dust Bowl family to good old California.
1951.
Hold on. I didn't give you a range.
Okay.
I'm going to give you 10 years on either side of this.
1951.
Oh, Jesus Christ. 1939.
Jesus Christ.
And you wanted to go straight through.
I was an English major. It's one of my favorite books.
Okay, holy crap. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
All right, we'll do this one. John Gielgud, we love him.
Yep.
English actor, producer, great director. Actor. Considered one of the greatest performers of his generation on stage and screen, he was born on this day in what year, give or take 10 years, man. I mean, how old do you think he was? And I'm giving you a 21-year window.
1907.
Thank the Lord, 1904.
There we go.
We're done.
Okay. All right, let's get down to letters to the editor.
Yes, sir.
Love the podcast. You might already know, but the original Ronald McDonald, we talked about Ronald McDonald last week, was none other than the weatherman Willard Scott. Do you see the photo I posted?
That guy always scared me.
You think the current version of Ronald is creepy? Check out the original. He's standing there. He's got a Dixie cup on his nose. He's in blackface.
He's not in blackface.
Well, it's a black and white photo, so it looks like blackface. He's got like a box on his head.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Yeah, I never liked Willard Scott. He is creepy. He always looked like a little bit like he loved children.
And this seals the deal.
Yes.
Look at it.
Obituary. Great news, everybody. Nobody died of any consequences
that we're interested in.
I mean, maybe you had an aunt that died, but we didn't know your aunt. And if you lost somebody, we're very sorry. But they were not on our radar.
She drank a little too much. Let's be honest.
She had a problem.
Hey, is this podcast live? Because Venmo just emailed me. I just got paid half of the bet from Ruby.
That's fantastic. Let's get to the funnies. We don't really have to cheer up because nobody died, but let's do funnies anyway.
I think we do funnies anyway.
Paper is really soft. Okay, last week the comics caption contest is ongoing.
All right.
Last week, not gonna lie to you, not a lot of great jokes. This week, very strong. We have a tank on a battlefield. There's explosions in the background. The tank is decorated with what did I say last week? What did we call it?
I can. It has two flags that have hearts on it. It has stickers all over it. It has hearts and
it has
flowers.
Streamers.
There's streamers attached to the wheels. The wheels are painted fun colors.
It's pink and purple.
Yeah, there's like a wreath of flowers around the cannon up front. There's a nice little pink umbrella over the hatch.
Yeah. Okay. So you get it. Steve Smilly said the war on drugs.
I think that is a very strong submission.
Tristan Mulkett.
On is capitalized.
Tristan Michele said, unfortunately, the sergeant misunderstood the general's request for another Panzer tank. Okay. this one is an odd one, but I kept it in.
I think it was Pansy, right?
Yeah.
Right. Wait, there was more. Oh, he explains his joke.
Yeah, I know. That's why I didn't read it.
Sorry.
Kurt said, La crise cardiaque mortelle. The French came to fight. Unfortunately, they weren't very good at it. So it's a shot at the French.
Mm-hmm.
Kurt said, despite the morale boost, the Pentagon decided it was best to discontinue Take Your Daughter to Work Day.
Oh, very, that's very cute. Gender-based take on this.
David said, fog of war, you idiot. I said we need to implement the fog of war.
Okay. I love that one. And thank God, no explanation of the joke.
David said, the new flower power.
That's good.
Rich Butchko said, ICE's undercover quinceañera squad is on the move.
These are good.
They're good.
Yeah.
Stephen Mangram said, coming to theaters this summer, the epic war rom-com Zero Dark Flirty.
Not as good. A little wordplay. But not bad.
Ron said, this is what gay guys picture when you say Battle of the Bulge.
Okay, Ron. Okay. So, you know, not bad.
One. John said, Gautier, you magnificent bastard. I read your book.
Okay, not the designer maybe. John called. Meanwhile, but that is not what gays picture when they imagine Battle of the Bulge, Ron. Yeah.
No.
That's the problem with the joke.
Kurt said, Sergeant Thompson misheard the orders to bring an extra flare to the assault.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, Matt Usher said, when the Israeli Tabak commander misreads his orders and thinks he's being sent to the Gaga Strip.
A lot of little wordplay on things, but two of them stand out to me.
Oh, I
The
I
War
missed
on
one.
Drugs by Steve, and also The Fog of War. Greg, is that yours? Are you the Greg in that?
Yeah. Jeff Langa, I forgot, left this out. Don't ask, don't tell, but there will be signs.
Yeah, right? that's smart. Bad. I like that.
I think Fog of War is very strong.
I'll give it a tie. I'll send out two koozies.
So which one's The War on Drugs?
Yep.
Okay. Two winners. This week the winners are Steve Smilly and Greg, whatever Greg's last name is. Send us your address.
I will try to get you your koozies by Christmas.
FitzDogRadio@gmail.com, and we will send you some koozies. All right. Why don't you cover for me for a second? I forgot to load the picture into the doc.
So. Okay, you're going to do that. Okay. Here we go. We got Hagar, the Horrible, and they're yelling up to a tower. Oh, yeah. We've seen this scenario before. So Rapunzel's up there. And so Hagar and Stupid, what's his name?
Lucky.
Hagar and Lucky are looking up at Rapunzel. And Hagar yells, Rapunzel, why were you sent to the tower? And she goes, I was clogging the castle plumbing. So, okay. This is like a lot of our submissions. It's like, that's a funny thing, but this is very out of nowhere to get to that shit joke. Like, first of all, it seems weird Hagar would be asking that. I mean, I don't have to dissect this too much, but it seems a little weird Hagar's asking this.
More like Rapunzel, you know, what are they doing to her in that tower? You know, she's, I don't think she wants anybody else coming up there. It's been nonstop sexual abuse.
Well, in the third frame, Lucky's like, I ate her ass last week.
I didn't have the microphone up to my face.
And he's full of regret.
All right. The caption for next week is, there's two guys on the golf course. One guy's putting. The other guy is leaning on his bag. He's got a beer in his hand. He's got a cigarette dangling from his lips. He looks nonplussed, would be the word.
Not really. He looks bored.
Isn't that what nonplussed means?
We've been through this. That's why everyone just should stay away from the word. I think technically Nonplussed means you're so taken aback that you're expressionless.
Oh, okay.
Which is a very difficult terrain, if you ask me.
Yeah. All right, so it's a pretty simple golf setup. Guy's putting, guy's watching him. He looks bored. He's got a cigarette and a beer. Send it in to fitzdogradio@gmail.com.
You know what you're feeling when you say nonplussed?
What?
Unamused.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. It's more of a stronger reaction to it.
Blank stare, unresponsive.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
All right, so now we got the lock horns. Loretta's talking to her neighbor at the fence, and she goes, it's a race each year to get the Christmas lights down before needing to mow the lawn.
It's very kinda nice. Kinda. We can try to guess where they live. Okay.
And now Leroy is in human resources, and the guy there says, it's refreshing to see a resume that hasn't been padded.
Because it's like an index card.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I didn't mention that. It's an index card. And then Loretta's playing the piano, and Leroy's leaning on it, and he goes, really? No voice lessons? Not even hog calling?
Okay, we're moving on to Dilbert. Jesus. This, okay, I'm going to just say it.
Dilbert, so you're done with Doonesbury.
Oh, you're right. I'm on Doonesbury. I was going to say, Dilbert is the most forgettable. All right, I messed up. I forgot. It turns out.
You know what, though? I feel like Doonesbury.
I think Doonesbury is the most forgettable comic I've ever read.
Yeah.
Dilbert actually isn't. Some of them offended me, and I was baffled by them, but I kind of remember them. Doonesbury's like, I'm not reading it anymore. I don't care. I can't even remember the last one I read, but you're right. I looked up Dilbert. I don't remember doing this one, but I think I might have, so it's forgettable.
Yeah.
Here it is. I'm going to do it anyway. Three frames. Dilbert, who called this meeting? We thought you did. There's two people at the conference table. And then second frame. I think we should discuss issues and assign tasks so it's not a complete waste of time, says the guy next to Dilbert. And then Dilbert goes, maybe meetings have become a life form capable of calling themselves and thus reproducing via human hosts. And the guy goes, good issue. And she goes, wow. Yeah, wow. I can't believe I haven't killed myself.
Did you read this one already?
I think I have.
I think you have.
What am I
going to
do? I got to get out of here. I got a meeting. Just like they do. I have a meeting just as boring as they do coming up.
Should we tell people your career news?
No.
Oh, all right.
It's not because it's not big news or anything.
Okay, Mike's got.
I might update, but I haven't signed anything or whatever.
Sharing it. Okay. All right.
Short little run. Short little stint.
Let's get to him and her. Fucking Dagwood's wearing like a yellow sweater that's cinched up at the belt line, and it's got short little sleeves. He looks like a woman. Maybe he's transitioning. Maybe this is his Caitlyn Jenner moment. That would not shock me at all. I would have so much respect for this comic strip if he suddenly became a woman.
Yeah, and her. Yeah, the both of them get respect at that point, I guess.
So he walks into the kitchen. The dog is hopeful. I don't know what he's hopeful for. Nothing ever happens in the kitchen except her cooking. And he goes, anything, honey? Oh, I can't. He goes, need help with anything, honey? And she, of course, is packing the dishwasher. Can we talk about the slacks?
Pants.
It's clearly Memorial Day wherever they live because white pants are back. And just looking ahead to the third frame, I mean, look at the ass on this fucking beast of a woman. The pants,
white pants are not slimming in the derriere area.
No, she's definitely showing a little bit of, she's showing some booty.
She's got, meaty.
She's a little meaty in this one.
In the best way possible. She knows it.
Oh, in the best way possible. And he goes, need help with anything, honey? And she goes, oh, I'm finished now. Thank you, dear. And she goes, if you'd asked about a half an hour ago, I could have used help, though. And he goes, wow. And I didn't even wait on purpose this time.
Here, I had a thought. If you were drawing this comic, like let's say that first frame where she's bent over, I think she's actually more shapely in that one. You would, the drawings each week we'd have to see where you had to just drop the pen and check out. You would like get down to the ass area. It would be drawn, and then it would just end. There wouldn't even be, there'd be little thought bubbles or dialogue bubbles, and nothing would be in them yet. You immediately had to run to the bathroom.
Can you imagine drawing things that turn you on so much you have to jerk off to them? That's fucking hilarious.
Well, romance writers say it happens constantly.
Really?
Yeah, they get worked up. That's what's supplying the juice.
Wow.
Is they're turned on as they're writing it. It's literally like we would fantasize back wow. before porn.
I used to write porn when I was a teenager. I used to read it, and then we used to have third period free at my school, and you know, for like studying and whatever. And so I was in the little bonus room at the school, and I wrote some porn, and I showed it to this girl Alyssa, and she was a freshman, and I think I was a senior, and so meaning that I was 18 and she was 14. And she started flirting with me after reading it. Nothing ever happened. But I think that today I would be removed from the learning institution for that, I believe, today, right?
You might be removed from Earth by the dad, I think.
She loved it. She'd you never might felt be removed
from
like
free
that.
Society, I think.
I swear to you, it was like she was feeling things she didn't even know existed before.
Yeah, that's what, yeah, predators have that effect too.
That's when I wanted to be a writer. Denny just finished out the round. He bogeyed the last hole.
No.
Meaning there's a very good chance he will not make the cut for the weekend.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah. So
I don't know anything about golf, but maybe it's like, maybe it's getting hot, so it's getting even faster. So everyone's going to bogey that goddamn hole. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, wait. No, now they're projecting the cut at plus three. So he's got a shot. He's got a shot. Not a good shot. But anyway. All right. Well, listen. Thank you guys for listening. Don't forget, I'm coming to you soon. Bunch of dates, fitzdog.com. The other podcast is Fitzdog Radio. I had Caroline Ray on this week. Tom O'Neill, author of the book Chaos, will be on next week. And he put it this way. I had to go in and edit out 5 different things because he said so much crazy
based on his request?
Shit. Yeah, he badmouthed some people. He talked about some illicit things, and he wanted me to take it all out. Not all. There's a lot that's still in there, but it'll be good.
One day, the uncut Tom O'Neill interview.
Oh, I saved it all.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, listen, happy birthday. I won't see
you
on your birthday because you're getting in so late, unless you get inspired to have a late night drink. Otherwise.
No, I landed like 11:35. I don't think there's going to be a late night. And then I got to strap my carry-on to the scooter. Happy birthday to me.
We can celebrate on Sunday. Little brunch at the house. My brother, I'm picking up my brother at the airport in an hour. He's in town for 5 days, and we're throwing a little birthday brunch for him and you.
No. Don't make that plan yet. We'll see how it goes because I might be meeting Laura and my stepdad and all that stuff.
No,
so,
we already made the plan.
Yes, for your brother.
No, but come to the brunch. Bring Laura and bring whoever. It's going to be a big party. All right. Tom will be there.
To be determined. I'll probably be there.
All right, good.
I'm serious, but we'll see.
All right, good. Thanks for listening.
Take it ish.
Take it ish.
Time to take a niche.